Well, a few moments ago, I walked into the lobby here at the Public Health Department in Danville, and I noticed it's pretty quiet. I mean, you hear the occasional phone ringing, but I only saw a couple of parents walk in the time that I've been here, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of activity right now. Was this the norm a year ago?
Absolutely not. This is a very high traffic building, or was prior to most recently, but we had high volume of services. One of the programs that we could not fund this year was our family planning and HIV STD testing, and that program's no longer here, and they served over 3,000 clients a year, so we certainly don't have that foot traffic here.
It must be really tough from your perspective, I mean, not really being able to serve this community and neighboring communities the fullest amount. I mean, the amount you were able to serve them, a few months ago, a few years ago.
Yeah, my predecessor, Steve Laker, who is synonymous with public health, he's been doing the job 39 years, so I've just been a shadow for him. And so he never really thought in terms of minimum service levels. We maximized every resource that we had in order to provide the maximum amount of service that we could provide and really utilize the resources that we had. Today, we are at minimum levels, and it's just something it's difficult for our staff to get their heads around. We're still providing the max that we can, but bear in mind, we are providing 5 days of services in four with less staff.
What does it mean to be offering minimum services?
Well, you meet the bare minimum requirements for programs that you have available. And right now, I'll tell you, it's a tough process for particularly environmental health right now. This is the time of fairs and temporary food service stands, that kind of thing, at 4th of July celebrations. Every single food entity has to be inspected prior to being able to open for any of those functions, whether that's a fundraiser or any event where people are serving food. We have to inspect those. And again, we're down a staff person in that department, and we're providing all of that service in addition to our regular inspection schedule in 4 days rather than five.
Now, some of the programs that are being cut are being picked up by other groups that rely on state support. For example, your care coordination unit will be handled by the East Central Illinois Area Agency on Aging. Are you at all concerned that these other organizations will fall into dire financial constraints and be forced to cut some of the programs that they're picking up from your department?
I really couldn't speak for those other organizations. I do know that they were not paying us, so I'm not sure what the payment schedule will be for another program area. And certainly our big concern would be the gap between ending our service and being able to begin or start services with another agency. So our greatest hope is that they are very successful at meeting those needs in this community. I just would not have any idea of knowing how that money will flow for them, because everybody's in the same situation. Anybody with a heavy level of state funding is in trouble for back payments.
So there's a possibility that those programs could be passed on to another agency if they can't afford to keep them going.
That's the bottom line, is how deep can the pockets run for those folks who have had to pick up or have been willing, rather, to pick up the services that we've had to let go. The need is here. We were full-blown delivering services up to a couple of months ago, and as that sort of dwindled down, other agencies were great about picking up in the gap, but their ramp-up time and trying to get ready to serve people, there's a gap in between. And once they do get started, how timely their payments are going to be, it's anybody's guess.
And, I would imagine that gap is really critical. I mean, especially there are people in the community who maybe need services for STDs or teenage pregnancy who really rely on your services. And, when they're sort of in a flux with this gap. I mean, how have they been responding to that gap?
Well, they've been asking a lot of questions. There has not been one day yet since we have stopped the delivery of those services that we haven't had people coming in, physically coming into the building, asking where they can get those services and what are they supposed to do now. We can only refer them to private physicians, the emergency room, or what other agency we might know of that might be able to provide some semblance of that kind of a service. The phones continue to ring. I can hear the person who is picking up on some of the calls throughout the day, and repeatedly I keep hearing, we no longer offer that service, we no longer offer that service. The other frustrating part is we lost the funding for the position who directed a lot of those calls. So we no longer have anybody, a receptionist, to answer phone calls. So people calling into us are getting a lot of long ringing or busy signals because we don't have the staff to answer the questions of the people calling in saying, now what am I supposed to do? We just simply don't have those resources.
Okay, so after you refer someone to another resource, is that the solution for them? I mean, are they gonna be okay?
Well, it would depend on whether they are able to provide the service. Our family case management program
rather get the service, right?
If they can get into their already taxed resources, we're hoping they can provide those. Aunt Martha's in the community has agreed, I believe, to provide some of the services that we were not able to provide. I don't think they're up and running with those yet. It takes a lot of time to get staff trained and the facility ready and that kind of thing. So there's going to be a gap with some of those. I know East Central Area on Aging subcontracted with CRIS to provide the CCP services for seniors, and they literally packed up files on Wednesday, so I'm not sure what the transition will be for those individuals either, but we are trying to help direct people if we can get to the phone calls.
Okay, and the people who came here, I mean, were they the type of people who couldn't really afford these services elsewhere, or they didn't trust other people to provide those services to them?
We have a very high level of people that would meet income guidelines for most of our programs. In this community, there is a tremendous need for services. The provision of those services, most of them are dependent on a facility like this or a federally qualified health center or the emergency room. Most people are not able to go to a private provider. And if they can, through a medical card or something like that, again, it's about waiting until you can receive the service.
Hmm. Now, I want to ask you, in your new role, how do you go about re-strategizing the day-to-day operations of this department while being fiscally responsible and, you know, also addressing some of the needs of the community that are critical?
Well, you address what has to be addressed first, and first order of the day today was to have a general staff meeting and talk to staff about where we are right now. We were fortunate that we do have a little bit of cushion financially that we have not had in the past several months. We had some money come in, and so we are hoping that we can initiate at least a partial repayment of the $300,000 loan that we've been having the county continue to carry us for. And then we would like to stop the furlough days maybe around the 1st of October if things go according to plan. And again, it's all about the checkbook and what can we afford to do. So that's our first order of the day. The other would be to make sure we continue to provide the quality service that we've always provided in the programs that we continue to have.
Your predecessor had said that, you know, the health department may soon be able to pay back $300,000 loans to the county, as you just said, relatively soon, and possibly stop the furlough days. Mm-hmm. Is that really in reach?
Oh, I hope so. We have staff that didn't get a raise, that took a 20% cut by staying on those furlough days. And I'm not sure how long you could sustain a 20% cut in salary and those kinds of things. But, you know, the same economic structure for this agency is the same as we all have at home. We've got bills coming in and you got to have money going out. And so you have 20% less money coming in. Something's going to give. So we really want to protect the valuable human resource assets that we have. And I think the only way to do that and to do a quality job would be to bring everybody back up to 5 days. So if at all financially possible, that's exactly what we plan to do as early as possible.
What needs to happen from a budgetary standpoint before you can pay back the county and cut the furlough days?
Well, the tax distribution generally comes out the 1st of July, so that's key. And then, of course, the $600,000 repayment of funds that are owed to us by the state is also of real vital importance. As I understand it, that could happen sometime throughout the fall, all the way up through December. So that's a long time to wait. So which is why we're being very conservative from a standpoint of what we can and can't do, because, again, it's an unknown.
What have you heard from the state in terms of its ability to address that backlog?
I'm not hearing anything. We all, with great interest, looked at what the governor had planned on for the budget numbers to be, and there are decreases in a lot of the many different areas of that budget. What freed up some of the money for us most recently was the basic health protection money, and we were very pleasantly surprised to receive that. So we'll wait and see, like everyone else.
What questions do you have right now for the state, for the governor, for the comptroller's office?
Well, I would. It would be a whole lot easier to do next year's budget, and it would be a real relief for the citizens of this community to know that we would be getting timely payments for services that we're delivering. And knowing that there's been a real effort made in trying to meet the obligations for the last fiscal year as we start into the new fiscal year. So right now, it's about trying to provide the best services that we can, given the economic constraints that we have.
Let's paint a worst-case scenario. You had said that the backlog may not be able to be paid by the state until December at the latest. That's what you're hearing now, at least. What does that mean for you?
Well, I think we'll still be here, which a lot of people believe that is at the bottom line. Because of the dramatic cuts that we made in staffing levels, our payroll has dramatically decreased, as well as our number of people providing the service. But bear in mind, what people don't equate that with sometimes is so does what we can respond to. Last year, we were heavily embroiled in our H1N1 vaccination efforts. And as we stand here today, currently, we have 6 nurses employed by this agency, 4 of which are not categorically funded. So our ability to respond to something as dramatic as H1N1 was, and that will be another effort that we plan to do in the fall, is do our influenza vaccination program. Those are real challenges. So we do continue to play with different ideas on how we're going to provide those services with the number of staff that we have.
Any plans to cut additional programs?
No, not at this time.
That's probably the last thing you want to be thinking about.
I never want to hear the word cut again. It was such a drain for the staff. We were family here, and we continue to be. I've had several people who worked here a couple of weeks ago drop in. We see them in the community. And so it was really like saying goodbye to family, because many of us have worked in many numerous roles here, but together for a long period of time. And I can't even imagine collectively how many years that accumulated. But we still have retirees come in and volunteer sometimes, those kinds of things. And so it was a very emotional, as well as, you know, dramatic economically. It was emotionally draining for the staff, for those that are staying as well as those that were leaving.
And, you know, the people who are going to have to go to other organizations to be serviced, how far approximately will they have to go?
Well, the person that just left my office actually is driving to Watsika, but she happens to be, her residence happens to be located in the northern part of the county. You know, we closed our Hoopston office up there because of the same constraints. And so that was sort of a wash for her driving to Watsika versus driving to Danville. So she's just happy to have placement. We have Aunt Martha's, which is physically located in this community on Gilbert Street, and so it's not that much farther. Some have chosen to drive to Champaign to some of the medical facilities over there. Some are at the VA, at Provena, and some are at home wondering what they're going to do. So it just depends on what their background was. Certainly the nurses have a few more options than some of the other staff that we had to let go of in this community. There's just not a lot of options right now for hiring.
What I mean, though, are the patients. So let me ask the question. So the people who came to this health department for service, patients, how far will they have to travel to get treated?
Those service providers are still here in the community, if they're here at all. We had a program that ceased to exist in January, and that program just doesn't exist anymore. So there's not like they can go somewhere else and get the service, even if it's far away. It's just no longer available. That happened to be a child abuse prevention program that we're just not serving those families now, and no one is.
So what will those people do?
They do what they do every day. They do their best, and they seek help from whatever resources they can find, and that's the best they can do. They're not there. Yeah, I know. It's hard to imagine this level of service for me. I've been here 25 years. I started out in the WIC program, so I'm used to dealing one-on-one with families and children. My kids were very small at the time. I'm now a grandma. So as a family, I can certainly understand the difficulties that this presents to the people that take part in our services. But it was a very difficult decision that had to be made about whether to loan us more money or not. It's just, you know, again, that whole situation of home. I mean, how deep are you willing to go, and what's your belief that you're going to be able to climb out? And that's what the county was facing, that decision, when we decided to make some pretty dramatic cuts here. Because we just had to base that on how long can you continue to, and how deep is that hole going to get? So we did what we had to do, and now we're going to try to come in every day and do the best we can and provide the services that we have available.
Okay. And then my final question for now, at least, is what's the center going to be like 1 month from today?
Well, we're going to be in the middle of budget meetings with our parent health and ed committee and the county budgeting process. It will be my first budgeting process as the administrator. I've always been in a support role, so that's going to be very different. From a standpoint of the ability for us to provide service, we have juggled people around in the department, so we have a lot of senior staff providing different services than they ever provided. So I'm hoping that we are in a much better situation to be able to answer questions more quickly. We're still going to be 4 days a week a month from now. If we're talking about October, I would hope to be back to full staff then. Full staff always, but certainly full time, and which would make our response times to many things much easier. So a month from now, I hope to be doing what I'm doing today. That's the best we can hope for.
At a minimum services facility.
We're going to be a minimum services facility for some time. I don't anticipate us having the resources to do a lot of growth in the next couple of years, really. That's a pretty big hole we're in. So we've got to get back to ground zero before we can build. And right now, we're still crawling out of the hole.